This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
And off we go. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, Rob. The great one, Lonzo, and you. We have talked NFL schedule release earlier in the show. Broke down our thoughts on the Carolina Panthers schedule, which we found out weeks 1 through 18 last night. Coming up in about 40 minutes from now, Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast will swing by. We will get his thoughts on the schedule as a whole. At 9 o'clock in the morning, we talked some NBA earlier. We'll do it again with Hayton S. Mario Heron from the BetMGM Network. He'll swing by to give us his thoughts on the Pacers eliminating Cleveland. Can Boston find a way without Jason Tatum? How about the Denver Nuggets? Can they get back-to-back to move on, or are the Thunder inevitable? We'll talk about all of that with Mario at 9 o'clock, 9:20. Fight! Club with the great Lonzo, where we'll talk some professional wrestling because there's a lot going on in the world. Monday Night Raw here in the Ville next Monday night, May 19th. So we'll talk a little bit about that show and what we expect to see at the Well. All of that coming up on the show. But now we take a roadie just on down to Columbia, South Carolina, where we find a young lady who has been covering now for a while the athletic department of the South Carolina Gamecocks. Kind enough to join us every Thursday at 8 a.m. Ladies and gentlemen, let us all say hello to the lovely Lulu Kesson. Good morning, Lulu Kesson. How do you do?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you guys?
Exceptional. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Lulu, I'm going to circle around at the end to talk to you about your Boston Celtics because I don't want to dampen the mood before we even get the interview started. So let us start instead. Well, I'm going to dampen it anyway by bringing up the South Carolina Gamecock baseball team. They've got 3 games left in the regular season at the crib, taking on the number one team in America, the LSU Tigers. Last week, I asked you, do you think Paul Maneri survives another year in Columbia? And if I recall correctly, your answer was $5 million is a lot of money to move on from the guy after one single season. But since then, it has not been great. They allowed another 20-plus run game. Paul Maneri is now responsible for both of the worst 2 losses of Gamecock baseball in the millennia, I believe. Has your opinion on that changed at all?
I wouldn't necessarily say my opinion has changed on if I actually think that South Carolina will let him go. But I do still, I guess I would say I have a stronger opinion on the fact that I think he should step away. I think that coming back next year after the year that he had, like, at this point in his career would just kind of, I don't want to say selfish, but just because, like, he was hired for this position, Ray Tanner, you know, put him in this position. But man, like, I don't know how you come back next year knowing how, just the entire community and, you know, fans. And in an era of NIL, it almost feels like you're doing a disservice to your players, putting them in a position where, I don't want to say they're so hated, because I think hate's a strong word, but where there's so much angst and sort of just no one's happy with the situation. And I can't imagine, like, I've seen so many tweets that are just like, I've given up on the program. And like, I came into this job knowing how historic South Carolina baseball was. And even last year when they weren't amazing, the fan base was still so engaged, and it's just everyone's checked out, no one's interested. And I can't imagine how you go back to that year too. And so I just feel like obviously it'd be an easier method if Paul were to step away himself, but at this point, I don't know, he's given no indication of doing that.
Yeah, and stepping away, and I guess this is kind of at the heart of it, Lulu Kesson, stepping away means he's probably not getting a $5 million separation. And I don't know about you, $5 million, I don't really care what anybody else thinks for me to get a $5 million paycheck. So I doubt that's the case, and that goes to the question then, if he doesn't, if he says, no, that was not what I'm capable of, I'm better in year two, let me get my guys in, whatever, that's where I think the conversation turns to with a new athletic director. There's nothing more dangerous to a program, in my opinion, Lulu Kesson, than apathy, when your fans just don't care anymore. And I agree with you. Everything I've seen, everybody I've talked to, it's all about being disconnected, right? It's not I'm mad. Mad means I'm still emotionally invested. Apathetic, I don't care anymore, is where you get into a problem. Even with a $5 million check on the line, would a new AD want to look and say, I cannot afford in year one of this job to allow baseball fans of a program that has been a very proud program for a long time to get apathetic and us be playing in front of an empty Founders next year?
Right, and that's why I feel for Jeremiah Donati, and I know that obviously he's prepared to deal with situations like that, but it's clearly, like, I don't want to say it's unique, but it's, I can imagine, not something he expected to deal with in year one, especially as the house settlement stuff is kind of finalizing and everything like that. But I do think that if Maneri were to stay, there has to be some type of change. Like, I know a lot of people are really unhappy with, I think, like, statistically, every pitcher has taken a step back this year. And that puts questions on Terry Rooney, the pitching coach. Like, I don't think it's obviously just Paul. I think that there is some truth to maybe the recruitment that happened prior to his arrival and with the portal, and sort of a lot of people think that maybe Mark Kingston could have left the program in a little bit better shape roster-wise. Like, there's a ton of layers to this, and that's also why I understand that, like, no decision was going to be made before the end of the season. Like, the people who were trying to start rumors that Maneri was going to be fired like 3 weeks ago, like, this is a huge financial decision. This is a huge sort of like statement decision for Donati. This isn't something he's just going to make overnight, and there's layers to it. And so if he decides that Maneri does stay, I do think that there'll be some type of change, whether that's bringing in new assistants or something where the faith is sort of restored.
Lulu Kesson from the Greenville News here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. LSU coming to the coming to Founders this weekend. This team's exceptional. This team has great pitching, great hitting, really solid defense. They will kill you on the base pass if you make a single mistake. Does that mentality change if this team gets swept to end the regular season and finishes below 500? They do have to take one to finish 500. If they get swept and finish below 500, or if there is another demo job, if you know, LSU has a 20-run win like Florida and Auburn did a couple of weeks ago, does that change the conversation at all, or do you think the nail is in the coffin as far as the 2024 season and we're already thinking about what the offseason holds?
I think the nail's already in the coffin. I think that nobody, it's so sad, but I don't think anyone would be surprised if they lost by 20 at this point. especially the LSU. I do feel from obviously from a human standpoint, I feel for Maneri that this is the final series. I think originally maybe when he found out that his last weekend would be, you know, coaching against the team that he obviously has a lot of history with, he probably felt a little bit differently than he does now. And that's hard. But at the same time, you question a lot coming into the series about South Carolina's ability to kind of do anything well against the number one team. And so I would not be surprised if South Carolina took a game based on the simple fact that they truly kind of have nothing left to lose. Or if, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they somehow continue to, for the third series in a row, lose a game by 20. So it's going to be interesting. I'm surprised Ethan Petrie came back so soon. His injury was sort of a 2 to 4 week thing, and he came back after 2 weeks. He could be a draft pick, or probably will be a draft pick this year. Doesn't necessarily have anything left to do. I mean, he is close. He's second for home run list, but at the same time, it doesn't seem like that's an injury or, excuse me, a record he's been dying to break. So when Ethan Petrie came back for the midweek game, I was sort of what are they trying to do here? Are they really trying to finish, 500, or are they just trying to, better the program in any way they can before they're ultimately done in Hoover, which is what I think we all assume, which will happen.
So the thought of Maneri up against his old team, a team that he coached up until a couple of years ago, obviously won a College World Series there a number of years ago. To me, the thought was this could be there could be an emotional performance. Maybe South Carolina snags a game, maybe two, if they go out there and kind of win one for the Gipper to get Paul Maneri a dub for his old team. But I think that only happens if the fellas in the locker room love the guy and want to play for the guy and want to do this for Paul Maneri. My question mark is, and I don't know if you have any insight into this or not, I'm curious about it. Is there a locker room connection between Paul Maneri and the club? Because my takeaway has been, this team has been trending down, right? It's one thing if you're a bad baseball team, but I can tick off week by week, you're getting better here, you're getting better here, this number's better, this metric's better. It's the opposite for South Carolina, which kind of tells me the team's checked out a little bit. Has there been any conversation about the connection between Paul Maneri and the baseball team? Do the boys have his back? Does he have theirs? Or is this just kind of a broken locker room towards the end of the season?
I know nothing in terms of any actual sources or people that I trust, but I have wondered that because from a sports perspective and in covering, the amount of teams that I have, you have to sort of assume at this point that it's a broken locker room because it seems like, I don't want to say an effort thing, but it does seem like they've mentally completely checked out because statistically, on paper, eye tests, these players aren't that bad. So whatever's going on does seem like a bigger issue than a bunch of players at the same time, happen to have really bad consecutive games. It just doesn't make sense to me. And I don't know sort of where their heads are at in terms of Paul. But at the same time, it's hard not to assume that there's something that's driving sort of a lot of the checking out, but also sort of the lack of just good play and lack of motivation.
Lulu Kesson joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. So when we look at this season as a whole, and obviously the next time we speak, we will have an idea of what Hoover shapes up to look like. Obviously, we know it's probably not a tournament that South Carolina fans are going to have any sort of energy or electricity for. What do you think is going to be the legacy of the 2024 baseball season? Do you think it is a season that is going to spark change? Do you think that with a new AD, with a first-year head coach, that there will be a major shift in what this program looks like in 2025? Or do you think that it's kind of going to be we just got to let the regime change take place and this is a nasty bump, but a bump in the road?
I feel like I'm more inclined to say the latter, even though I'd obviously think that more fans would, of course, prefer a drastic change that potentially led to a lot more, I guess, guaranteed success than they saw this season. But it is hard in this, you know, Lamont Paris said something that really put something in perspective to me. He was like, you plan a roster for a year at this point because of the transfer portal, because of NIL. Like, when a player commits to you, it almost feels like you get a year. And I'm paraphrasing what he said a little bit, but in any sport, no two seasons are going to be the same with the transfer portal and NIL money and rev share potentially happening. Like, nothing is ever going to be the same. And I think in this baseball scenario, they're bracing for change regardless, because I do think that when you have a year so bad, I imagine a lot of people are going to leave. And I imagine that a lot of people, maybe, you know, for better or for worse, aren't going to be on the roster next season. And so naturally, South Carolina baseball is going to be so different. I just think, obviously, the biggest question is who's going to be the one in charge of it all. And I don't know. I know I keep playing the easy way out here, but, like, I would not want to be Jeremiah Donati, because that's not an easy situation to deal with.
No, I agree. And one of the things I found interesting the last couple of weeks is, like, how close to the vest everything seems to be played right now. And it may just be because, like, there are athletic directors that they don't want to put the script out. In fact, they may not even want to think about making decisions until the season's over. The last thing that you need right now is news coming out that there's major change on the horizon, especially, as we mentioned, with the portal being a thing now, guys could already start making their plans to get out, and never you don't give yourself a chance to talk them into staying. That being said, or is there anything floating on the wind about a potential exodus of players that maybe expected something different on the way out? You were a destination for incoming players last year. Has there been any talk that there's fear of players maybe deciding to depart the program because it's not what they thought it was going to be?
I don't have specific names, but I think that's the expectation, to be honest. And I also think, like, I don't want to say it's performative, but, like, as of late, it seems as though from what I've heard and what I've seen in press conferences and stuff, like, Maneri has been making an effort to talk, like, oh, I was just, you know, talking to some 26 recruits and stuff like that. And it's like, you're just suddenly bringing that up when everyone is questioning if you'll be here for next year. It feels like a lot is going to potentially come out the second the team loses, because I just think that so much has to be going on, and that all feeds into next year. And so everything that's sort of said between now and whenever their season ends, I feel like is probably not an accurate reflection of what next year will be, because changes are going to happen regardless.
Lulu Kessin of the Greenville News covers the South Carolina Athletic Department, talking baseball with us on the show. Real quick, Lulu, what are your expectations for this series against LSU? This is an Omaha favorite. This is a national championship contender. This is the number one team in the country. They've had a couple of dry spells during the season, but by and large, this is the best baseball team in America, in my opinion. What are your expectations for, or what is the best you think Carolina fans can hope for out of this three-game set this weekend?
I would say one win. You know, to get one game would be huge. It's not going to be easy. This isn't a team that I can say, like, anyone can beat anyone, because I've never seen a team lose back-to-back game, like a game in back-to-back series by, you know, 20. But I do think that South Carolina could get one, and I would not be surprised if they did, especially with LSU and the end of the season, and obviously Hoover matters, but also LSU has, you know, Omaha aspirations. And so I just think that I would not be surprised if I don't say they let up a little bit, because I don't think they'll give South Carolina a win, but if South Carolina finds a way to win at least one game.
Fair enough. All right, last one before we let you go. Jason Tatum out with the torn Achilles last night. Derek White, Jaylen Brown both have nights. I think last night was an emotional win, right? Like a let's go get one for Jay Tate kind of win. You got any confidence Boston can go snag one more in game six and at least give themselves a chance in game seven at the house? Or have you resigned yourself to the Knicks moving on?
I honestly truly do have confidence. And I know that this is going to sound maybe annoying, but it's frustrating see, because I do genuinely think that the Celtics are the better team. And, like, my dad grew up a Knicks fan. My family, they watched the Knicks, like, all year. Like, nothing against the Knicks. I think they're an incredible team. I think Jalen Brunson is absurd. I think they're incredibly talented. But if I'm looking at who was the better team this past season, I believe it was the Celtics. And so to have the first two losses be just dumb is annoying because now the Celtics are in this position where I do think that they are capable of taking this to seven, even without Tatum. But I do acknowledge that a lot of what fueled last night was emotions. But at the same time, like, Derek White and Jaylen Brown are great. Like, Luke Kornet is great. I didn't mind Kornet playing over Porzingis. Like, I think a lot went right. Obviously, a lot was for Jason Tatum. And every time I think about his injury, I shed a tear.
It's fair. As a Boston fan, I would too. Lulu Kessin, by the way, describing the first two losses as, quote, dumb, end quote, was my favorite thing of the day. Lulu Kessin covers the Gamecocks for the Greenville News, joins us every Thursday at 8 a.m. Lulu, we appreciate it. Enjoy the baseball weekend at least as much as you can. Good luck in 6 and 7. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Well, luckily, I'll actually be at softball for the NT for the regional.
That's
so
right.
I'll luck out with not having to witness whatever happens with baseball.
We will probably talk about softball next Thursday. That's going to be my guess. Lulu, we appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
Have a good weekend.
You
thanks,
too.
Guys.
Lulu Kessin for the Greenville News. Follow her on X at Lulu Kessin, K-E-S-I-N. Back after this, Rashad Beard at 8:40, Mario at 9, Fight Club at 9:20. The Rob Brown Show now on the Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Somebody on the text line a few minutes ago called me a, quote, college football Marxist, end quote. First off, in the 5 years I've been doing this, it is maybe just to me, that's the funniest text anybody has called me a name in. Liberob the Woke Warrior came from the text line. Absolutely hilarious. Hot Rod Brown came from the text line. That's objectively hilarious. But Rob, you college football Marxist, has got to be the funniest thing I have been called. If you missed, why?
Is it inaccurate?
I mean, yes, but
you hesitated.
Well, it's because when we talk about stuff like this, I have to decide how far off the philosophical deep end I have to want to be able to go or can go or am allowed to go. And the answer is no, because there are some nuances to the concept of Marxism that I am, even in the landscape of college football, where I would say I am fine declaring myself a college football socialist. Without a doubt, I'd say socialist, sure. Socialism and Marxism, say, different concepts.
You've already kind of clarified that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, without saying it. So
I am happy to allow you to call me a college football socialist. And the reason for that is because I believe that college football as a product is what sells billions of dollars every year. And therefore, I believe that every person participating in the system should have, if not, and this is where I would say I kind of swerve from socialism a little bit into like my own form of philosophy on this. Everyone should have the same opportunity to be rewarded for excellence, right? Not just get the same thing. There is a baseline for what everybody gets, and that's not going to be the same from everybody to everybody, because at the end of the day, those who have eyeballs are just going to inherently get more, and I'm fine with that. But I believe that when it comes to consistent performance and excellence, that everybody should have the same opportunity to get there. Everybody should have the same opportunity to be rewarded for excellence. And under a 16-team playoff, where two conferences get 4 automatic bids, 2 conferences get 2 automatic bids, and everybody else gets to fight for 2 spots. Not everybody has the same opportunity to be compensated for excellence. Not everybody has the same opportunity to be compensated for their success is, right? Like, I think that, and this is sports. This isn't life. This isn't getting up and going to your job. This isn't being a productive member of society. This isn't adding anything to the value of, it's football. It is something that is meant to be a break from all of that. But as we talked about with the NBA draft lottery earlier this week, when it gets to a point that it feels as if your team does not have the same opportunity for excellence as everybody else, that's when we check out. The NFL, there are 8 divisions. There are 4 teams in each division, and every team, to the point of even scheduling for the conferences, the conferences are set up, the schedule is set up so that for the most part, the divisional opponents of every team are the same. There are what? 2 games on your schedule that are different from the other teams in your division. And those are weighted based on your success and your failure in the last year, right?
Your comrades are coming to your aid.
Yeah, no, I know. Because I'm right. So when the NFL season starts, even if my team stinks, and they do, at the beginning of the year, week 1, in September, when the NFL season kicks off, the Saints, Panthers, Bucks, and Falcons all have the exact same opportunity to make the playoffs. all 16 teams in the NFC have the exact same opportunity. And even if you're in a division that is stacked, right? The NFC North, that's a good division. Detroit's going to be good. Minnesota's going to be good. Green Bay's going to be good. And maybe Chicago's going to be good. That is a division with four teams that can make the playoffs. Even if only one can win the division, there is the out of being a wild card. That is something that all 16 teams in the conference share.
There's also a salary cap. There's regulation. There are things that college football doesn't have, so that makes it different.
Yes.
But it's going to be the same soon. And then your argument won't matter anymore.
No.
Once it becomes a complete pro
you
thing.
You are hearing an argument I'm not making. I'm not making an argument for the system's the same and it should be the argument that I'm making.
Yeah, but you are making a comparison to something that's different in a way.
Let me start over. The reason we are all excited week one is because everyone in the NFL has the exact same opportunity and the same resources to work with. Now, your owner, your general manager, your head coach, they may be dumbasses and not spend those resources wisely, but you have the same resources. It does not feel that way in college football anymore. The resources are not the same, and they never have been.
I don't care if you have the same resources. If you are a Wake Forest fan, and I'm sure there are those out there, you don't wake up going, season started, we're winning a championship this year. And then you remember, you're Wake Forest. No, you're not.
No, but you know what I do wake up thinking if I'm Wake Forest? If all things are equal, all I got to do is win the ACC one time.
Mm-hmm.
All I got to do is win the mm-hmm. ACC.
When's the last time they did that?
It does. You're not. This isn't about what has happened. You just said the system changing and then all these arguments go away. This isn't about what has been. This is about what will be. And in the way that it will be, all Wake Forest has got to do is win the ACC one time. However, even if they do that, they will still not make as much money as Iowa State is going to make next year just because of who they are and where they are.
Tag on it, man. I'm just killing it on Thursday. They will if they win the championship.
Correct.
They're going to win a bunch of money. So all they need to do is get in. Quit whining about only two teams getting in and all this stuff. Just get in and win your games, and then it doesn't matter about all this
correct.
Other stuff.
Correct. And for the fourth best team in the Big Ten, that's a free ticket. And for Wake Forest, their only option is to be in the top two.
By the way, yeah, because they're not going to be, because they're at least the third or fourth team every single year.
And they make less money. So even if they do the thing you're saying, all you got to do is, even if they do that thing, they still will not make the money Iowa State makes just for being there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am a college football socialist. UNC Chris says, Rob Brown's college football philosophy will now be known as buddyism. I'm here for it, Chris. Well done. The college football economic philosophy of buddyism has been birthed. Rashad Beard talks Panthers schedule when we come back on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Efforting Rashad Beard. Efforting, by the way, I think is a word only used in radio.
I believe so.
I don't think anybody else uses the word efforting. And it's just one of those things that we all say it because we heard somebody else say it and then it sticks.
Yeah, so a whole lot of panicking behind efforting. It's like, I don't know why. Yeah,
if you ever hear a host say we are efforting, it means that I planned on a guest being here and they're not here and now I got to come up with something else.
Or I forgot to call someone or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're efforting it.
Efforting Rashad Beard. Also, efforting, because I've been asked a couple of times, efforting a guest from the WWE roster for Monday, when Monday Night Raw is in town. Did get an email back yesterday saying that they are putting the schedule together for their media tour on Monday, but that it has not been finalized yet. We are obviously, as the only show in the upstate that is adept at talking about wrestling, which we will do in 40 minutes at 9:24, Fight Club, that we are at the top of the list. Behind the TV stations.
Who's your dream guest? That's on the Raw roster.
Rhea Ripley.
All right, realistic dream guest.
Realistically.
Wow, I see what you did. That was on the fly. Way to go.
On the Raw roster, who's the dream guest? I would love to have El Grande Americano come through. You know, talk about his storied history in luchador wrestling.
This is the problem. We probably would need a translator for that because I don't.
That's true. I don't know. Yeah, we haven't really heard him speak.
Yeah, we haven't
all
heard
that
him. I'm guessing he speaks Spanish, but I don't know.
I would be interested in seeing what he had to say. Alexa Bliss.
She's on SmackDown though.
Oh yeah, she is. Isn't she? I forgot. That's where the Wyatt Six is.
Allegedly, yeah.
Allegedly, AJ Styles would be dope.
Yeah, for sure, and he's from this area.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
AJ Styles would be dope. By the way, El Grande Americano is officially on the WWE's roster.
Of course he is.
Why wouldn't he be?
Why wouldn't he be? You know.
Yeah. Finn Balor would be high on the list.
We need Dom. I mean,
Dom obviously would be high on the list. Yeah. Just so I could ask him about CM Punk and see how that goes. Rey would be on the list. Sami Zayn would be dope. Rusev. Stephanie Vakir. Top of the list.
She did, but she's technically NXT.
I've seen some of her interviews. She's actually hilarious.
Yeah, oh no.
And on top of that, she usually lets the guest wear the devil horns.
Wow.
And I would in a heartbeat.
Yeah, we already seen them today, so it won't be.
Those were metaphorical.
Weird. Okay, all right.
All right, we're waiting on Rashad Beard. May have to push him till next week. Did not get an update before, but at the same time, Rashad's also on call with his real job. So let us do what we would have done anyway, and that is look at the Panthers' schedule as it was dropped last night. And let's pick out some games or some stretches that we are most interested in. The first two games, right out of the gate, Now, I would have said the first game anyway because obviously set the tone in week number one. I think that's a pretty lazy thing because that's true for every team in the National Football League. But I do think it is especially important for the Carolina Panthers. And not just because you want to set the tone for the season in weeks one and two, but also because of who you have the opportunity to set the tone against. You are on the road at Jacksonville in week number one. You are on the road at Arizona in week number two. That Jacksonville game, I actually think, is massively important. And I think it is important because it is not just a barometer of what the team looks like after the offseason and after putting together the draft class, after Dave Canales gets a full offseason with Bryce Young and his offense, et cetera, et cetera. I also think it is a barometer to gauge yourself, where do you stand amongst the other optimistic teams in the league? Because Jacksonville is on that list.
See, I think the true thing that we're waiting to see is, what does this defense look like? I mean, the offense looks like it's shaping up to be a decent offense if Bryce Young continues to improve with the new weapons that he has. But what's the defense look like?
I think that is probably a question that will be asked throughout the course of the season. I think that you will get a good grab because the common thought in the NFL is most of, not all, but most of your offenses need a week or two of full speed regular season play to develop to where they're going to be. Very few offenses come
especially
out high flying
in
week one.
Early on and with less preseason, so you're getting less real time against other teams unless you are lucky enough to practice against another team and there not be a ton of fights and the practice get canceled. It takes a while for offenses to develop because they haven't all been on the field together enough.
Correct. It's timing. It's chemistry. It's timing up the quarterback with the route running. It's learning where your wide receivers are best and worst at breaking off. And
finding
what routes
out
they
if your offensive
at.
Line can actually block.
Exactly right. All of these things will, for most teams, take a couple of weeks to get going, which means in the first couple of weeks of the season, defenses have to carry the load. And to get the advantage of, usually, not always, usually, you are playing an offense that is not up to its full potential yet, which means defenses have to carry the load. This is a spot where a revamped and healthy Carolina defense can make a massive difference. You are up in week one against TL16, Trevor Lawrence. I have already gone on the record a few times and said to me, this feels like it is the make or break year, at least in Jacksonville, for Trevor Lawrence. Even if it doesn't work out and they move on from TL16, somebody's going to pick that guy up, see if they can get a Baker Mayfield out of him, right? Let's see if we can get a second year where you go, okay, it was the franchise, not the quarterback, but this is the make or break year for TL16. I think he knows that. I think this is the year that Trevor Lawrence is going to go, I just got to be me and play my style of ball. And they went out and got him probably the most dangerous weapon in this draft, at least from the college ranks, in Travis Hunter to put on the outside. And it's not a bad staff. It's not a bad defensive line or offensive line. Not a bad staff of guys around that. So this game is one that will need to likely be carried by the defense because the offense may take a little time, especially when you consider that the most important addition to this roster is wide receiver. There is a rookie wide receiver that is going to be probably running the X for this Carolina Panther team. It may take Teteroa McMillan and Bryce Young a couple of weeks of timing, of chemistry, of getting it all together before they really develop into whatever they're going to come into. So I do think that this game is important. Set the tone on the defensive side of the ball against an offense. And by the way, Liam Cohen, head coach of the Jaguars, comes over. He was the OC, replaced Dave Canales when Canales went to Carolina last year and had success. Everybody in Tampa loved him. In fact, the drama when Liam Cohen apparently ghosted Todd Bowles and said, I'll be back, and then ghosted him, and then they just found out that he had been talking to and accepted a job from Jacksonville, Tampa was kind of bummed out by that. Not just the behavior, which, sure, I will acknowledge was probably a little unprofessional on Liam Cohen's spot, but they were actually excited about Liam Cohen coming back as OC. They liked what they got out of that Buccaneers offense that won the division that last year. So you got a young guy as a brand new HC who is going to be trying to prove that they made the right decision, working with a quarterback who is trying to prove that they made the right decision, working with a weapon of a wide receiver in Travis Hunter. I know everybody's talked about the size and how, you know, going up in that backfield against real defensive backs is going to be a change for Travis Hunter. Maybe it is. We'll find out. But the dude can still fly. And as the old adage goes, can't hit what you can't catch, right? So that's big. And then there's Arizona. Then there's Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, a team that the last 2 years have felt is nowhere near where they should be. This is a team that lost a bunch of talent. This is a team that has had some issues with the head coaching spot. But this year, they bring over James Conner. He can play. They got Trey Benson behind him, young man out of Florida State. I'm telling you, that kid's got wheels if they can get him out there. This is the year that Marvin Harrison Jr. needs to prove that last year was a bit of a misnomer. That's not really who I am. They need some help at the wide receiver spot. Michael Wilson, Greg Dortch is their 2 and 3. Not exactly it, but they got Trey McBride at tight end. Like, that's not a bad, it's not a good, but it's not a bad Cardinals team. These two games are both very winnable for the Carolina Panthers. So opening 2-0, especially considering you have got an opportunity to gain a divisional lead on Tampa and Atlanta, who both have more difficult games to open the season, one of them against each other. You've got a chance in 2 weeks to gain first place possession to the NFC South soul. And then you're playing out ahead of everybody, right? And you don't face Tampa until week 16 and 18. So you got plenty of time to build up a take a two-game lead into those final 2 weeks, and you got yourself a really solid position. So that's an interesting spot. September 21st versus Atlanta, first time in division. That's week 3. You should have your offense clicking by that point. Now it's a matter of, can BY and Tet McMillan and the rest of those wide receivers who are now all playing in their natural position, Xavier Leggett playing the secondary, the Y, Adam Thielen playing the slot full-time. Can your wide receiver core and Bryce Young, along with your run game, can they outpace Michael Penix Jr., who did play last year for Atlanta, but this will be his first run as being QB1 officially and without question. Can your running back trio outpace Bijan Robinson, who is a weapon, is a stud? That's a big game. You could be 3-0 with the divisional win in hand after 3 weeks. Then you got the Patriots, winnable game. Then you got the Dolphins. I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I got no damn idea what the Miami Dolphins are going to be last year. Last year was a disappointment. Last year, Dolphins fans, of which I am very close to a few of them, went from Mike McDaniel is the future of head coaching in the NFL to did we screw up? Is he really the guy, or was that just a flash in the pan? May have been. I don't know what to make of Miami. Then you're back home against Dallas, on the road at the Jets, back home for the Bills, on the road at the Packers, back home for the Saints. Home away, home away, home away, home. Those 5 games, I think, are the season right there. Those five games of the season. If you go 0-5, 1-4, maybe you beat New Orleans, but you drop the Dolphins, Cowboys, Jets, and Bills. If you go 3-2 in that 5, I'll call this shot now. If the team opens, let's say, 2-1, right, between Jacksonville, Arizona, and Atlanta, if they open 2-1, and then they go 3-2 in the next 5, they will win the division. That's where the division, to me, is won and lost in the first 10 weeks of the season. If they go 2-1, and then they go 3-2, they win this division. Because the back half, you've got the Saints at home on the road at Atlanta. Then you've got the 49ers in Monday Night Football. I think the 49ers are not going to be, I don't think they're going to be good this year. I think with the loss of Debo, everybody else can be more focused on, I think that's going to be a bad team. I think that Monday Night Football game is winnable for Carolina. You got the Rams. Respectfully, I don't think that's a winnable game. I think the Rams are going to be a contender this year. You're at the Saints. That team stinks. Then if you go 2-1 and then 3-2 and then you get two of those next three, which is all possible if we're breaking this into chunks of the schedule, Saints, Bucks, Seahawks, Bucks, you might be in a spot where a split with Tampa Bay is good enough to win the division because they've got a tougher schedule and they've got more bumps in the road than you do. I think this is it is very possible. 2-0 against the Saints, no worse than a split against Atlanta. I think it is very probable that this year concludes with the Carolina Panthers in the final 3 weeks of the season needing to just go 1-1 with Tampa to claim the division. All you got to do is not go 0-2 and give them the tiebreaker. I think that's a realistic possibility. All right, we'll see if we can get Rashad lined up for either tomorrow or next week. Get his thoughts on all of this when we come back. Hating ass Mario. Mario Heron of the BetMGM Network joins us. We'll check in with Mario on the NBA playoffs. He is my NBA go-to dude. I know he's going to be jacked about the Pacers eliminating the number one seed Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll check in on that, see if he thinks Boston can win game six and at least force a game seven, giving themselves a chance. If the Nuggets might be able to fight back against the Thunder after dropping a road game, they should have had one, but the team went 1-for-12 in the fourth quarter outside of Nikola Jokic. We'll talk about Nikola Jokic. Ugh. We'll talk to Mario when we come back. 920 Fight Club with the great Milonzo in the final segment. Whatever you want to get to coming up on the Rob Brown Show. All of that after a World Heavyweight Championship performance. Sports Flash.
Let's Nikola Yo go.
Okay.
The 500 record for the Atlanta Braves lasted just one day as the Braves blew a late lead and dropped a 5-4 game against Washington. The Braves are 21-22 with one more against the Nationals before a three-game set at Fenway over the weekend. Even without Jason Tatum, the Boston Celtics have extended the series with a 127-102 win over the New York Knicks at home. Derek White scored 34 and Jaylen Brown had 26, while Peyton Pritchard added 27 off the bench. The Knicks lead the series 3-2 with Game 6 tomorrow. Minnesota Timberwolves eliminated the Golden State Warriors with a 121-110 victory last night. Listen, I got to laugh every time just because it makes me happy. Julius Randle had 29 with 8 boards, and Anthony Edwards added 22 with a dozen assists. Hour number 4 of the Rob Brown Show is next right here on the Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America. Yeah.